You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of the Hoffman Show, broadcasting live from the Entertainment and Sports Arena, now called CareFirst Arena, where the Mystics will host the Atlanta Dream tonight. That's actually, if I look over my shoulder, yep, 81 minutes till tip-off. The 90-minute clock is running here at CareFirst Arena. And we are pretty pumped to be here ahead of the Mystics opener tonight. Jamila Weideman, their general manager, scheduled to join us coming up at 6:30. Right now, though, part two of our conversation with Mina Kimes from Take Command. If you missed part one, go to Take Command. The full conversation is there, and we will you'll also be able to hear Logan and I's reaction to the conversation and some schedule thoughts. But without further ado, picking up, we talked offense first, then got into the defense with Mina. So here is part two of our conversation. I think, you know, we spent 15 minutes talking about the offense, and we're pretty sure the offense, even if it regresses and it's the 10th best offense, like, okay, so cool, you have a top 10 offense. If it gets better and it's top five offense, like, cool, we're partying. The defense is the bigger question, probably, yeah. About this team. They make the Kinlaw signing where everyone throws up their hands and goes, that seems like a lot of money for him. They get Trey Amos in the second round of the draft. Other than that, they kind of run it back. You know, they lose Jeremy Chinn. Where are you at on not just like where the Commanders' defense is, but where they need to be able to make another run in the playoffs if the offense is going to be what we think it's going to be?
Yeah. I sure wish they had another pass rusher. I'm not going to lie to you guys.
I think between saying that this group of backs is not your favorite in the league and the pass rushers, you wish they had another one. Every single Commanders fan is like, okay, yes, Mina.
Yeah, you've
that is what we have been saying too. And Logan and Craig keep telling us to chill out.
Yeah, it's like the defense in some ways is more of a candidate for, and to say they're a candidate for regression, well, they weren't great last year, but I actually had some pretty good games down the stretch. And I do struggle to find a lot of improvement. First of all, I really like Trey Amos. He was one of my favorite. I talked about him a lot ahead of the draft, and I actually didn't see that pick when it happened in real time. And I think he's like a perfect scheme fit for Quinn and Joe Witt. And I love that they can move Mikey back inside. So on the back end, I actually think even with Chinn gone, you might see some improvement, especially if Lattimore, again, more further removed from his injury, plays. I think he will be better than he was for the Commanders last year. But the front, you know, it's just not a strong pass rushing front. And I think there's going to be a lot of onus on the offense to put them in situations where they're not having to rush the passer aggressively. And that makes me a little uncomfortable.
Well, I do think like this is an interesting kind of philosophical point about like, you know, but I do think that they brought in a bunch of guys who make them better on first and second down. Versus the run. And again, if you're in more pass rushing opportunities, even if you're not a good pass rushing group, just percentages wise, you should be able to create more pressures as a team. And again, they have two of the best blitzing linebackers in the NFL, and Joe Wood Jr. knows how to use them. So again, like if they're better on first and second down, and they're in more third and long situations, which again, they had a really tough time last year on first, second down, stop on the run. If they're better in that area, and from a personnel standpoint, they should be, do you see a world where they're a little bit more efficient defensively?
Yeah, I guess to go back to kind of like the complementary football aspect of it. Yeah, right. Like if they're, you know, ahead too, you know, like that.
Great, right. Crushing it.
yeah, I think the run defense should be improved. And obviously you're in division with Philadelphia, so that's always like job number one, right? And, you know, I was a big fan of Newton as a prospect, and obviously his developmental curve has been kind of affected by the injuries. I still think he has a higher ceiling than what he has shown. You got some flashes of it, I think, as a pass rusher. I think he could be, there was a couple plays too, Dallas Joshua, I was like, that's the guy I saw at Illinois. So I think if he can hit another level, you know, rushing from the inside, that will help a great deal as well. He's obviously a little undersized as a run defender, but yeah, I think that, yeah, it really is about like complementary football for them. You know, and I think that's what you saw play out a lot last year, frankly. So, yeah. You know, there's pressure on the offense to help the defense because the offense has the capability to, you know, be up there again with any in the league. The defense, probably the worst in the, the division. If I was.
Depends on how leaky the Giants back end wants to be this year.
Yeah, the Giants front is.
Yeah, their front's sick, nasty, though. But their back kinda end scary, is sick in a different good. Way.
Commander, I mean, the Cowboys are the opposite. You know, I mean, they can obviously get after the quarterback, but I don't think that run defense is going to be fixed at all. So it's definitely a lot of pressure on the offense. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, for sure. So you guys did not only the coach rankings, but the GM rankings. And you have a lot of folks, obviously, at the top of that list who have long track records of success. This is only year two for Adam Peters.
Yeah.
So I'll ask the question, I'll sports radio it up for you this way, Mina. Next year, what are the chances that Adam Peters is sniffing around that top five?
I think if the top two picks who I like a lot hit this year and they can find another late round gem, then yeah, you got to consider it. I was just pulling up the depth chart to kind of look at like the decisions that he's made, and I, you know, but it's not just drafts. Obviously you got to consider, I mean, last year, what they did with the offensive line, to go back to that, like building it on the relative cheap and fielding a competent unit, I think that he deserves a ton of credit for. And, it's a lot of friends of Dan, you know, Quinn, in terms of like some of the free agents, and I think you would need some of those to work out. The Kinlaw one is one that I raised my eyebrows at, but maybe he comes in and balls out, and then you would certainly hold him in high regard that way. Debo, Trey.
This year was the Friends of Adam. Ifs.
Yeah, if Friends of Adam. Yeah, right. Sorry. Those are right. Last year was Friends of Dan. This year's Friends of Adam. I think like some of these free agent trade acquisitions, Tunsil and Debo have to really produce. And then if they do, I think then you're like, okay, great. Like this, you know, some really good decisions made. He hasn't really gotten to any extensions yet. So that's not something we're like evaluating with this team. But those are the two players that I'm probably, and then yeah, Lattimore as well. I mean, those are big swings. Like he gave up significant draft cap, but then, you know, you traded Dotson and got a great return for him. So he deserves credit for that as well. But I would say like the big swings he's taken have to work out. Lattimore, Tunsil, Debo's not really a big swing. Lattimore and Tunsil are the two players I'm looking at this year for me
Does
to feel
he get any
like
credit him. For Jaden Daniels?
Nah.
I mean, you got to make the right call, man.
Yeah, you got to make the right call.
Right? So, like, but we're saying a lot of ifs, but here we go. Quarterback, yeah, that's a big deal.
I know, but like.
And I think on your show, you were talking about how, like, you give credit to what's his name for finding Josh Allen, right? Like, and I know we got a lot to prove here with Jaden Daniels, but he feels like he's got that magic pixie dust on him. So, I don't know.
He does. And obviously, he chose him over. I mean, Drake May is really great too, though. Like, I that was my God, watching the guys this year. I was like, geez, you guys were holy smokes. The whole top of last year's draft was just so much
amazing.
Yeah. It's like remarkable.
I think, like, in a way, that the Jaden discussion ties it all together, though, right? Is like, if we're going to talk about culture and talent identification and fit and like, okay, if this guy's a 9 talent, how do we make sure that he performs at a 9 and not a 7? And like some of that is the culture stuff and making sure that it's in the right thing. Like I think Drake is well put together and like a great leader and all these things too. But just Jaden has that magic thing that as you're restarting the franchise in the way that they were, it just feels like the absolute perfect fit. And for like, yeah I think everyone could watch Jaden in college and what he did and be like, yeah, that guy's pretty good at football. But to on the personal level, to understand how to get the best out of him from front office to coaching staff, like that I think you do have to give them some level of credit for.
I mean, he also, the development of him. I mean, he also just, I liked him. I liked all the top three. I thought they would all be good. And obviously Caleb had his ups and downs and, you know, but Jay Daniels even exceeded my, I was like, that's a great second overall pick. Makes sense. He was better than I thought in some specific ways that, you know, who we attribute credit to, but like the playmaking in particular, that feels like him. I mean, you guys watched him, I'm sure, a lot in college after the pick and just generally. He wasn't really a playmaker in college. He was unbelievably cerebral, great arm, so many, you know, just a pure pocket passer. But he didn't make a lot of throws on the run. And, like, he was a good dual threat quarterback, but he was small, and there was questions about how that would translate. I had questions about how that would translate to the NFL. He took a lot of really ugly hits in college. What he did last year as a playmaker in particular wildly exceeded my expectations. I don't know how much you put that on. Maybe, you know, the front office saw that capability, maybe the coach, but I he's just got that dog in him. Like, at a certain point, it's just like, okay, that's just something he had in his bag the entire time. I thought it was remarkable.
So no credit, huh? That's tough. It's a tough eval, Mina.
Congratulations on picking the Heisman Award winner. Yeah. The dash year.
But people screw it up all the time, man.
It's true. It worked out for sure. It worked out.
By the way, you see the excerpt that just came out from your colleague Seth Wickersham's new book on Caleb. Oof.
You know what, though? He's lucky, Caleb, that came out now instead of ahead of the season, because ahead of the season, everybody would have been killing him. But now everyone's like, points were made. Yeah.
Like, I can't do it with Shane Waldron. Yeah, no, we saw that. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks so much. It's
pretty
probably
valid.
Why he was fired very early in the season. By the way, Bears Commanders rematch on Monday Night Football on ESPN. I think that's week 6.
We'll be there.
Dropped. Yeah. So
it's in Washington?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We'll be there. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you week 6. In the meantime, anything else on like just the general like team building side of it that you think is worth pointing out when you think about how Washington put it all together? And then seeing, you know, I think the other thing too, Mina, is like how they acted in the 2025 offseason, where it's like, okay, we saw one version of what their stated principles look like in kind of a methods way in year one. We're now seeing another year of how they go about their business and what that, you know, what thoughts that spark for you as we wrap up here?
I just love that I really like the draft, and I wish I had spent more time talking about it on my show. You know, Connerly Jr. is a player I just really, really liked. I started watching Oregon early on in the process, and I just couldn't take my eyes off him. I thought he had as high a ceiling as any tackle in this draft, to be honest. And so I thought that was you know, it was a team that came in with such a glaring need at pass rusher, but then took the best players available. And it's hard for me to begrudge them that, especially because I like to go back to the team building point. I like the fact that they were, I know I'm kind of repeating myself now, but both aggressive in free agency at trade, but also, you know, didn't say, okay, we're going to bring in these older guys and that's it. No, we're going to bring in young players at those exact same positions. I just think that's really smart team building because you both hedge in the current, you know, if Tensel or Lattimore get injured again, very possible, you've got a hedge, but you also have a long-term plan. And I think that's just very clever.
Mina Kimes, catcher on NFL Live. Of course, the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny as well. And Mina, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us again here on Take Command. All right. For more of our conversation with Mina, make sure you check out Take Command wherever you get your podcast. Up next, Clinton Yates on The Hoffman Show. But first, today, the latest in women's sports is presented to you by Wawa Chicken, how you want at Wawa, with customizable roasted and crispy chicken sandwiches.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, and joined now as we are on each and every Friday, at least most of them. Sure. Clint Yates, ESPN, of course, commentator, radio host, and panelist on Around the Horn for as long as Around the Horn is around, Clinton, which is one more week. You got one more rodeo there on that TV show. What's your feeling going into the final one next week?
You know, the schedule came out and there are people on it that I can't reveal. Some people are coming back to the show for some final appearances. And there's this thing we do where the availability has a full email and everybody's on it. And typically you're not supposed to reply all, and people make fun of you when you reply all. But this time people have been replying all and telling stories. And, you know, it's fascinating because I also think that I sit in a very specific position. Like, when I got to the show was before a larger expansion of the panelists. There's two big sort of eras. There's three basically eras. I was sort of at the end of the second in a lot of ways. And so I honestly think I might be the panelist that it either knows or has met the most other panelists any of them. Like, when I put my brain to it, I was like, you know what? Because the people started telling stories about how they've never met a lot of the people that they've been on the show with. And I'm like, huh. And I think, I mean, I can't think off the top of my head, if you just named 15 panelists that came to mind, the only person I can think of that I haven't met recently or at all is Bob Ryan. Everybody else I know.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody else I know. And it's like this strange part of it to me, because it's more than just the TV show. These are the people that have become my peers and my friends. So it's nostalgic. I mean, the timing is weird for sure. But I was talking to David Dennis on the air about this on radio. And he said, I think what I'm going to miss is the daily routine of whatever day it is that I do a show. And he was like, I go to the gym, we do our call, I do my research, I eat lunch, I eat a Butterfinger, and then I go to the studio. He had this very specific thing. And I said, you know, I think you're right. When that part of it goes away, the routine of what it's like to get into sort of game mode, that's when I'm really going to miss it the most.
Clint Yates with us here on the Hoffman Show, of course, ESPN Radio, Clinton and Friends in the mornings, and Around the Horn has been a panel. How many years now has this been for you? And did you start when you were at ESPN, or did you ever do it when you were at the Post?
No, I didn't do it when I was at the Post, and it's been 8 years. Like, and that is a much longer number than I thought of. I mean, show's been around 20.
That also means we've been friends for longer than 8 years. That's what I'm saying. Feels like we've been friends forever, but like it is
like, dang, that's a long time. Like that's as long as I've done anything. I was at the Post for like 9. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And so it's just, I don't know, looking back on it, it's a big point of pride for me. People have heard me tell the story that I knew those guys when I was in college because I just bum rushed the studio at Tony Kornheiser's radio show. And he was like, well, come on down to the TV station since you want to hang around. And next thing you know, I end up on the program. So my relationship to that show is very unique and very special. And it's something I'm always going to take a lot of pride in. And now I can't figure out what I'm going to wear for this last show. And it's kind of making me nervous.
Oh, that's definitely, that's stressful.
Right.
I just don't know what to wear. Yeah.
Right. No, so I might go tuxedo. I might go tuxedo t-shirt. Who knows? So
honestly, for you on that show, a tuxedo t-shirt, feels
might be the move, but we'll see, you know,
so. feels exactly right. It feels like that show, like there is a familial element. You just talked about how many of these people have become your friends. And like, I think reality, you know, he's shared all the text messages and the way he does. He has a very particular way of doing things over the years. Yeah. But like, is that the thing that kind of stands out when you think of like the identifying characteristic of Around the Horn? Like, yes, it's a fun, there's a clock. Like it's a fun, you know, themed show. There's a clock, you know, I think Tony and the producers do a good job of letting people speak on things that are important to them. So like, there's always an outlet, but to me, like the banter is the point of the show. Is that what ultimately
about it? I also think that one of the best and smartest things they ever did was when they started publishing what we talked about during the breaks. And like, that's where you really get to know people. And that's where things really are a little different than just the business of doing the show, because you don't actually talk that much. I mean, sure, there's a lot of things to say, but with four panelists and a host and 10 topics, you've got a lot to get through. So the downtime is what I think, when I really think back on it, is what I'm going to remember most, is like what we're doing while we're just sitting there waiting to tape and talking to each other about generalized life stuff and so on and so forth. So yeah, those are memories that other people don't have, but we did a good job of documenting them a little bit. But we will always remember. We remember because we were there.
We remember because we were there. All right. Final week of Around the Horn next week on ESPN. What day is your day?
Thursday is my day. So
okay. So Thursday,
myself,
catch Yates
and Courtney
on that.
Cronin and Pablo Torre and some other people we are not going to speculate on, but I know who. So.
Oh, okay. Well, Thursday, Courtney, Pablo, Clinton, and a friend.
Mystery
Clinton
guest.
Friends,
yes,
mornings
exactly.
On ESPN Radio. See what we did there? See what we did there? And Clinton, the other thing that we're going to talk about with you today is literally the most classic sports radio topic that has ever existed. Like, sports radio started to debate whether Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. And now the path is unlocked for Pete Rose to be in the Hall of Fame. New ruling from Rod Manfred earlier this week in Major League Baseball that says any ban that is a lifetime ban ends when the player's life is over. So if you are Shoeless Joe Jackson and banned from baseball, it is not a permanent ban, as in posthumously, you cannot get into the Hall of Fame. Your ban ends with your life. And Pete Rose, who passed away within the last year, is now eligible for the Hall of Fame. So, hey, should Pete Rose be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, there's a couple things. I mean, first of all, what a cruel interpretation of a lifetime ban. Like, that is such an odd way to sort of say, like, I don't know, that there's a certain element of existentialism there that kind of weirds me out. But
yeah,
I think it's worth knowing, though, that this is not going to be the average Hall of Fame situation. I was talking to Buster Olney on the air the other day, and he said, look, there's a special committee that's going to be named. And within that committee, there's going to be a subgroup that votes on whether or not Pete gets in. If you put this, and I believe this earnestly, if you put this to the general voting populace of the BBWAA, I don't think he'd get in. I honestly don't think that there are enough people that are old enough that care enough about his legacy to vote him in. I don't. But if you get a subset of human beings that sort of remembers him and Charlie Hustle was a part of why they liked baseball, then maybe you've got a chance. But those people are dying off, for lack of a better term, as each successive day goes by. So he still has to get elected into the Hall. That still has to happen. And I just feel that for Cooperstown, there's going to be a very interesting discussion as to like, well, who do you want to be? If you're letting in the Pete Roses of the world and all of these other guys that are from the steroid era, and I can delineate the two, but I understand why people cannot. And they just say, well, whatever, you know, they're two different things in terms of infractions. All of these guys should be in no matter what they did. That is a PR stance that I'm not sure you know, an operation like Cooperstown, who again is separate from Major League Baseball, is really ready to deal with. Like, that could turn into a very kind of political, for lack of a better term, thing very quickly. And so I just think they've got sort of an identity crisis on their hands at this point. If they decide they're going to let one guy in and then an entire generation of players whom are responsible for why a lot of people actually like the game are not. So it's not an easy one at all.
No, it's not. And this is, gets to the crux of what any Hall of Fame is. Like, yeah. Are you a museum that showcases the history of the game and the most important stuff? Because there's right. No doubt Pete Rose is important to the history of the game and his whole story is, right? Sure. In the same way that Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds are, and their histories are important, if not sorted on varying degrees. Right. In the same way that, like, the Basketball Hall of Fame has a different issue. The Basketball Hall of Fame just lets too many people in.
Everybody and their mom gets into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's like, it's where you... Like, I remember talking a couple years ago, and we'll see if he actually gets in, but like talking when Andre Iguodala retired.
Yeah.
And people are, and it's like, is he a Hall of Famer? And it's like, not in another sport.
Yeah.
This one. Like, he was really good for a long time and really important to a lot of championship teams. Right. And typically that's good enough to get in.
Yeah.
And so, like, it just, like, personally, I'm going to ask you, if Clinton Yates becomes the curator of the Baseball Hall of Fame in this case, like, would you want Pete Rose in, or what do you do with Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson?
I appreciate you asking me straight up. The answer for me is no. The answer for me is no, because I don't – the reason I was explaining there's a delineation between infractions in terms of what Pete Rose did versus what any of the steroids guys did is because I can live with the morality clause keeping you out of the Hall of Fame. I have no problems at all saying, oh, if you're a scumbag, you're not here. That's just not something that we want to celebrate. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I understand the other side of the argument being, well, there's the numbers, and if you're deleting the history, then people, you know, or if you don't know the history, you're bound to repeat it. Yeah, but like, I don't know about that, dog. I went to college outside of Cincinnati. Pete Rose is from West Cincinnati. I've heard some stories about Pete Rose that I'm not going to repeat on this program that people just don't want to know. And that's sort of my thing, is that, like, that's not just the gambling. You know, and like, you have to actually investigate that with Pete, and you kind of got to investigate it with everybody. There's certain people that I'm just not in the business of celebrating if the character clause is not up to snuff, not because I'm some cute cancel culture guy, but in this particular case, no, thank you. That's it. You know, and I think the hall, that definition you talked about with basketball is fascinating, because you're right. There's way too many people in the hall. But I also think in baseball, the hall might be better served being a museum. The game's that old, you know what I'm saying? And it's that closely tied to American history that it might actually be a more useful, hell, just from a business acumen standpoint, you know, to be that for what Cooperstown is, as opposed to the highest of the mighties in which nobody's really ever eligible to get in.
Yeah. I've always thought, like, is there a way to kind of do both?
Yeah.
You know, well, some of the, you know, Hall of Professional Excellence, and
that's where we'll be. We'll be in the Radio Hall of Professional Excellence.
Yeah, or like the Hall of Scumbags. There's just a wing. It's like, welcome to the Jackwagon wing. Like,
I mean, if you want to have like a disavowed section, kind of thing in the context of history, I mean, okay. I mean, I think most people look at the Hall as a museum anyway. Man, it's in Cooperstown. You know, it feels old. It is old. Like, I don't think that the Hall is what's getting anybody to like baseball anymore, and they've got to evolve with the game in terms of what the fans care about as much as anything.
I still actually, one of my favorite Hall of Fame ideas is the Bill Simmons pyramid. Like, the Book of Basketball and the pyramid idea is actually genius, to be like, this is this tier, this tier, this tier, this tier, and if someone goes in, someone's got to come out.
Yeah.
And like, I think at that point you could have like a honorable mentions used to be in category. Like, sure, we can keep the history of the game alive, but like, hey, that dude that was one of the best 50 players in 1978. He's been booted because Steph Curry's here now. It's actually, you know, so there's an idea for someone.
Have you ever been in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
I have been in the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield. I have not been to Cooperstown. I have not been to Canton, but I have been to Springfield.
I've been to Canton. I've been to Cooperstown. I've not been to Springfield. So,
all right. Well, between the two of us, we got it all covered. Clinton Yates, everybody. Again, Around the Horn, his final appearance is next Thursday. As that show is shutting up shop next week. But Clinton and Fred's marches on mornings on ESPN Radio. You can check it out on the ESPN app. Thank you, sir.
Bye. Have a good weekend, Gregory.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
All right, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are live at Care First Arena. That is the new home this season for ESA, the artist formerly known as, and the new general manager of the Washington Mystics. Jamila Weideman is with us. Jamila, good to see you.
Great to see you.
Happy opening day.
Thank you so much.
So what's the feeling for you? Like, you've been waiting on this. Everything you and your team and the coaching staff have been working on since you got hired has been building to today, and then obviously what unfolds after it. But what, like, when you woke up this morning, how'd it feel?
Oh man, I'm so, so excited for our players, for our coaching staff to get out there, and I think just show what we've been up to. There's been a tremendous amount of hard work on the court. There's been a lot of incredible chemistry building, both on the court and off the court, and there is just nothing that replaces game day jitters. For me, if I don't have them, I'm worried.
Yeah, no, I feel that. Although, I don't know what you can do with them. I was having this conversation with actually Hal Hirschfeld from the Washington Spirit earlier today. She's missed the last like 6 weeks hurt, and she's had to watch games from a suite, and she's like, it's terrible. It's the worst. And I told her, literally, you know, when I talk to coaches who are former players, and in your case, the general manager's former player, at least when you played, you could do something. Like, have you been in that kind of competitive thing? You worked in the league office. You've done other non-basketball things. Have you been in this situation where you care this much about a result and there's not anything you can do about it?
Listen, I'm with her. Sitting and watching does not touch. At least thinking that you have the ability to do something with them. So maybe the lesson is, even if you can get out there and compete and run around, that's not always successful either. So, but at least you have the shot. So for me, you know, it's all the process of looking out and realizing that the way that you're a part of it now is in many ways as a witness. You have to let go. You are behind the scenes. You are finding ways to support. But at the end of the day, you are handing over all the right things to the players who should be at the center of it all. And the truth is, like, they also come up and create in ways that you didn't anticipate, that our coaches didn't teach, that weren't part of the plan. And that's sometimes where the magic happens. And so in that let go is also just, I think, vesting a freedom that opens up possibilities for everything.
That sounds interesting. Is there a story there that you can tell us?
Well, I think any sport, any great game is this incredible alchemy of things that you think you can control and know, and that kind of magic that happens in the building when everybody knows they're watching something that could neither be anticipated or ever recreated. And those are the moments that our fans talk about. Those are the moments that players talk about, you know, phrases just being in the zone, being in the flow. Folks that walk out of the arena and say, I could try to describe it, but I can't. You had to be there. Those are really the moments that we play for and that we cheer for. And I think those become possible because you let go.
Yeah, Jamila Weideman, the Mystics general manager with us here on the Hoffman Show, the author of one of the greatest You Had to Be There moments in D.C. sports in the last ever, will be in the building tonight. Jaden Daniels is going to be here. Lamar Jackson is also going to be here. I've been told Wale is going to be here. What's that mean to you as the GM of this team to know that you've built or a part of something that is that exciting, that it has entered the sports mainstream, that the biggest stars in town, the biggest stars in the region want to be here?
This is, it's exactly what we hope for. I mean, D.C. is a sports town. That there's excitement around it that is drawing folks out is incredible. That we have fans in those guys is amazing. It's really, I think, it examples what's happening across the W all over, which is honestly taking 25, 26, 27 years of a foundation, and we're all on a rocket ship at this point. And of course, there is that foundation, but there's the fun and the joy of getting to share the game differently than it's ever been shared. And I'm really proud of that, and I'm really excited for our players who are in many ways the ones responsible for that to get to benefit from it now.
I don't know what the first step is in building a rocket, so I don't know what the exact analogy is supposed to be. But whatever that is, you were one of the original players in this league. Like, do you take time to reflect on that, or in a weird way, is the league so unrecognizable in a good way now that it doesn't even feel like it's the continuation of that story?
It's both. I look out at our practices sometimes, and when I see the level of play, the level of athleticism at every single position, the skill sets that are in, you know, players who were 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", we didn't have that except for a few players here and there. And so what used to be exceptional has now become the norm. And that means that we've lifted the floor of our game up to the ceiling, which means there's a new ceiling now. And so even as it's all connected, it's kind of fantastic to look up and not recognize it. I think that's how it should be.
Speaking of some 6'4 players who can do some things, Aaliyah Edwards and Shakira Austin, both not going to play tonight, injured. I saw them both working out, so it would seem like there's hopefully good updates. What can you tell us about where they're at and how quickly we can see them back on the floor?
Yeah, we're really excited about both of them. I mean, looking at the off seasons that they've had, both of them at Unrivaled, obviously.
By the way, I gotta get Aaliyah to do us a solid here.
Look at
that. We've talked about it, but we're going to have her sign
this. The Miss Jersey.
And then this is going to hang behind us in the studio.
That's fantastic.
We got props. Take that, other radio shows.
Listen, I hope she gives you the time of day. If I know Aaliyah, she will.
She'd already agreed to, so we're good. We just have to find the actual time. She's a busy lady. You got her working.
Listen, I do. But both of them putting in great work, being the great teammates that they are, incredibly present during camp. You know, I think both of them, for our younger players, have been great examples, and it's going to be amazing to have them back out there in the live action.
Sonia Citron makes her debut tonight, third overall pick. When someone's a third overall pick, like, they're pretty darn good at basketball, but stylistically, Sony is not the person that you'd archetype as a third overall pick, because she was seen as kind of a role player at Notre Dame, but she, like, her role is be good at everything. What have you seen from her so far, and what do you think she's capable of here in this rookie season?
Yeah, I mean, I'm of course biased.
Of course, you did pick her. She was your first ever draft pick.
She was, and she also shares the draft pick that I was drafted as the number three. Thank goodness. She's much, much better than I was. Much, much better selection.
Revisit your answer on the evolution of the game.
she, I think of her as a steal at the third pick, and I think you're right. To call her a role player is a compliment in the biggest way. She can play with any lineup out there. Doesn't matter who you put her out there with. She makes them better. You know, as I've watched her, I realize that she generally makes each mistake exactly one time because she learns that quickly and is so attentive, and her IQ, basketball IQ, is just so high. And she's a competitor. You add that to an athletic frame, you know, a size that can compete and defend at a couple different positions. And then also remember that she is just in her first year.
Yeah.
And so as good as she is, as talented as she is, you know, we want to make sure that we give her plenty of room to get out there and grow.
The thing that struck me about her when I chatted with her on Media Day was her self-awareness. Like, she is so clear. And I talked to Niel about her. Like, the specialness of her as a person just stood out in a way that was like, whoa, that's different. So I'm excited to watch her grow. All right, last question for Jamila Weideman, general manager of the Washington Mystics, with us here on the Hoffman Show. I ask this, if I have a GM, a coach, whoever, at the beginning of a season, like, how do you define success this season? I'm sure you've thought about it a lot. I don't know if you verbalized it, but I'm going to ask you to here on the radio.
No, it's a great question, and you got to have an answer to that, because everybody has to be moving in service of that answer. And I think for us, it is certainly to, I think, play in a dynamic and exciting way that really taps into the talent that we've got. And we want to do that for our fans. We want to do that for this city. And I think that comes from working incredibly hard and prioritizing our creativity. So I think that's one metric of success for us, is that when we're out there, we're a team that you want to come watch. I think the second metric for us is to get better every single day. I believe we have the fewest minutes ever played on a WNBA court for any WNBA roster that's out there. And if you call that young, or you call that having less experience, I call that incredible opportunity. All we're going to do is grow. And that's, I think, really, really exciting for us.
No doubt about it. Can't wait. Starts tonight behind us. 43 minutes on the clock right now. Jamila Weideman, general manager of the Washington Mystics. When we come back, we're out of show. We're wrapping up next. Anthony, we can skip what's trending, and we'll be back with real things next here on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show wrapping up here. We're at Care First Arena, where the Mystics are going to take on the Dream tonight. Opening Friday in the WNBA. Jamila Weideman, the Mystics general manager, just with us here on the Team 980. The game not on the station tonight because it's a national TV game. We get the Monumental simulcast. So Megan and Christy are on the call as they use the home announcers, which is kind of a cool deal with the W's TV package. But they will be on ION tonight, and thus we will not have the game on the radio. But we're your home for Mystics basketball all year long. Star-studded affair tonight here, Anthony. Jaden Daniels going to be in the building along with Lamar Jackson. I think they're coming together, which is kind of cool. And then we will also have Wale in the building. There's a bunch of other VIPs. It is the place to be tonight in D.C., ESA, now known as Care First Arena. But, Anthony, before we get to that and the video, actually, that Jaden narrated for the Mystics to open up their season, as part of Real Things and the most ridiculous call. Actually, we don't really have time to do anything else. There's a bunch of other good W games this weekend. There's our WNBA season preview. We'll talk about it more on Monday. We'll see how the opening weekend goes, and then we'll do our season preview. That'd be cool if we could do that in real, like, for NFL season. Like, now that I've seen everybody, and that's a huge problem. But it's time for Real Things because we got two doozies. All right. Let's start off, actually, before we get back to the Jaden thing. Granddaddy had one of the most absurd calls in, frankly, radio history today. I believe this is self-explanatory because they had to figure out what was happening. Anthony, let it rip.
I'll take an injured Lattimore over anyone we had last year. And I thought he kind of got some... Well, hold on, 1 second.
What is
happening? Sorry, I have a blown gun in my car. I'm a really responsible person.
You have a what?
A stun gun, would you say?
A blow and go in my car.
I don't know what that means. Is that a DUI thing?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dagger.
Oh, dear.
So you have to blow into it, or what happens?
Yeah, you have to blow into it. It goes off at random sometimes. Unfortunately, when I'm on the radio, it goes off.
So if you don't, what happens? Do they come pull you over and assume that you're drunk or something?
No, they add a month to your time.
You're kidding.
Dude.
No way.
Okay, wait. So,
what just happened? You just picked up the little device.
You
and
just
blew
matched
into it?
The sound. You weren't like blowing in anything.
No, he definitely was blowing into something.
He just went like that.
Yeah, yeah. It goes off at random. So, yeah, in an embarrassing fashion, it goes off when I'm on the radio with you guys.
I mean, that is tough. I got to be honest. Like, it's not the best time.
Well,
but I'm on your side here. I mean, not the previous acts, but right now I'm on your side.
Yeah, we're doing the right things.
But anyway, yeah, back to Lattimore.
I gotta be honest, this is way more interesting.
Yeah.
So how does this work? So before you start the car, do you have to do anything or no?
Yeah, you gotta blow into it before you start the car.
Okay.
And they have a camera on you in case you were to have somebody else blow into it for you.
No way!
Who's monitoring the camera?
There's like someone on the other end.
Yeah, like it's company. Whatever company you choose to go with that has that installed.
But every time you open your car, is someone monitoring it then?
Not every time you open your car. It's when you put your key in the ignition and go to start her
but
up.
But what if nobody, like, what if it's, like, trying to get her play reviewed and they're not ready at New York's, like, MLB headquarters? Like, you need to go to work. What if no one's ready to watch you?
It's not a lie. It's a recording. It records it in case. It also benefits you that there's a camera in case somebody steals my car.
Oh, I yeah.
Know,
silly.
Then, hey, you know,
and then
this wasn't me. I didn't do this.
And then it beeps, like, once a day or more often?
At random. So, like, I'm commuting from Baltimore to home. It might beep again in 5 minutes, or it might be good. I don't know.
It might be days.
I get sice. So then you blow into it, and then they know, okay, everything's fine.
He's good.
And what happens? So if you blow into it and it's bad, then does your car turn off, or does it alert someone, or what?
I have not had that happen, and I hope not.
Keep it up.
Out.
There you go. Good answer.
Chris in Kent Island, ladies and gentlemen.
Good for you, buddy. Be safe.
Well, we appreciate you, man.
Oh, I just wanted to say one thing about Lattimore, actually, though.
I don't know. Yeah, go ahead, please.
Go for it.
Dude really wanted to make his Lattimore point.
He did.
Wow.
He spent 2.5 minutes, and he really wanted to get off the Lattimore point, though.
I mean, I would want to get off that topic if I was him. As Grant said, like, we don't endorse the previous act. I mean, the way to not have to deal with that is don't do what he did, kids.
Yes.
Be responsible. Holy cow.
That was crazy.
We've had some wild calls.
Oh, my God.
That's up there. That's up there. All right. No easy pivot on that one. The Mystics, we're at the arena. They're playing a basketball game tonight. And all teams do season opening videos. And the Mystics got Jaden Daniels to narrate theirs.
Everybody thinks they know DC. They see the monuments, the marble, the power suits. But we know the real DC. This city is made for people. From Southeast to Shaw, U Street to Anacostia, we're backyard in the summer air, we're Berry Farm black tops under the floodlights. We don't just live in DC, we make moves here. And that energy is in the air. It's the art, the music, the rhythm of the go-go beats. It's in the way we show up for our teams. And right now, all that energy is shifting. There's a momentum building. This Mystics team, they're built from that same grit, that same fire. Playing ball is in our DNA, and this season is more than a game. It's a movement. This team plays for you. For every hooper with big dreams, for every fan. Everybody thinks they know DC, but it's deeper than that. It's passion, it's power, it's pride. So when the lights come on this season, you're not just watching, you're a part of it. Part of the energy, part of the family, part of the culture, part of the momentum. Let's go Mystics.
That's dope, bro. That is incredibly well written by whoever wrote it. Well delivered by Jaden. I got goosebumps. I'm ready to go.
I'm saying, hey, look, I'm over here like vibing to the The instrumental was also really good. I'm not gonna
it was. You and by the way, we do. If you ever want to remix it and have you dancing, I can just send you your half of the screen during that, because it wasn't like I was playing the video. So it's just us watching a video on YouTube, which is a good time. Yeah, man. And you want to know what I'm wondering? Because JD5 in the building here tonight, are they going to play that and then put him up on the big screen?
Yep.
And then have him rile everybody up, get ready to go. And then if they do that, at what point? Do they do that early? Do they do that pregame? Do they do that like 2 minutes to go? Are they hoping that it's a close game? You save it and you take the risk for 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? I got questions.
I say first or second. You got to get the crowd involved early.
I feel like you could do it like going into the second quarter.
Okay.
Or like timeout late first. Yeah, I agree. Got to get it going early. We're getting going here at ESA. Again, Ion, if you want to watch it, we'll talk about it all on Monday. Thanks to Anthony for running the show. Thanks to everybody with the Mystics organization for hosting us. We'll be back plenty this season. Signing off from ESA, it's the Hoffman Show. Have a great weekend.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.